Matthew Brown is the program director here at WTIP and is a sailor adventurer. Matthew set himself a goal of sailing 50,000 miles by the time he was 50 years old. And this fall, I'm told, he completed the last 3,000 miles on a month-long sailing adventure from the Canary Islands off the north coast of Africa to Antigua in the Caribbean. He sailed on a multi-masted tall ship with an organization called Jubilee Sailing Trust out of England, whose mission it is to promote the integration of people of all physical abilities through the challenge and adventure of tall ship sailing. Although he's usually on the other side of the microphone, Matthew joins us now in the studio to tell us more about his goal and this latest trip. Matthew, welcome to the Roadhouse on that side of the table.
Well, good evening.
Good evening to you. And let's talk a little bit about that goal first, of sailing 50,000 miles. How did you come to that, and why?
Those are good questions. How did I come to it? I don't know. I made it when I was in my early 20s, and I thought it would just be a great idea for, you know, a kid from Minnesota, the heartland of the United States, to do something like this, to see if I could actually sail that much. So I started sailing quite a bit, and I kind of forgot about it for quite a long time that I'd actually made that goal, you know, because I made it when I was like 22, and then, you know, you forget about it in your 30s and 40s and kind of remembered it. And I had been keeping track, though, of my miles.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, you must have kept a journal.
I was always journaling them down on the miles sailed.
Some people do that with running or skiing or whatever, but sailing, that's an interesting.
Right. So it was, and I think in my early 20s, I read a book that somebody had written called After 50,000 Miles, and it was all the stuff they had learned after sailing 50,000 miles, and I thought that was really cool, so I kind of took it from that and figured I'm going to try to do that and say it someday I've sailed 50, and so I had to put a time frame on it, though.
And when you say sail, you're, of course, referring to a wind-propelled boat.
Correct. I mean, there was some motoring done in there, but mostly they were all sailboats. And I've tried to just sail, which has been good. You know, it's been fun. It's a slow way to go, though. If you think about it, it's slow.
Well, it took you. We'll get to the trip you just did, but it took you 32 days to cross the Atlantic.
The Atlantic Ocean, yeah. Mm-hmm. To put in perspective for people, if you think 3,000 miles, I don't know how far it is across the United States or whatnot, but pretty close to that.
Similar.
So drive that at 5 miles an hour in your car, and you kind of get the feeling.
Well, Buck probably has a pretty good idea of what that's like.
We went faster than that.
I mean, we're talking, sometimes we're sailing, and it's like you realize when you're sailing at 2 miles an hour that you could actually walk faster than you're going. Yeah. You just can't walk there.
Yeah,
you mean,
but it's sort of effortless, the sailing part of it, isn't it? I mean, when you're underway, I mean, I realize there's a lot of work involved in sailing.
It depends on the conditions. Yeah, some were, you know, most of it was probably very good, very comfortable, and some was not so comfortable throughout the time.
How did you learn to sail?
I learned actually in my early 20s and learned on Lake Superior.
Really?
And got a job on a racing sailboat and learned on a racing sailboat on mostly Lake Superior, but the Great Lakes as well.
The first time I knew of you, you were sailing the Yordas for Northaus. Is that right?
Yep.
How did that come about?
That came about as I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. The Northaus folks, it was just starting up, and they wanted to buy this boat. And I was the only one they could find that knew how to sail. And I was, there it is.
Had you ever sailed anything like the Yordas? That's a pretty big boat.
I had never sailed a gaff rig schooner like that. I've never, a traditional boat. I had always been on racing sailboats of like 50 feet, but much more modern compared to what the Yordas is, or these tall ships I've been sailing on.
Now, there is something that happened to you that interrupted your sailing career and your goal of 50,000 miles, a health scare. Tell us about that.
Yes. I guess that would have been 42, 43. I had a pretty severe stroke, which limited my physical abilities. And I had continued on my 50,000 miles at that point and was only 6,000 miles away. But then when I had that, I realized that it was going to be a lot more difficult. And the stroke actually took away my ability to be, you know, to sail on a daily basis as captain of the Yordas. So mm-hmm. I couldn't really do that anymore. And I wanted to try to get back into it. And I tried really hard, but it just wasn't going to happen. Sometimes you just have to say, that's not going to work, mm-hmm. you know, and move on to something else.
I mean, seeing you now and seeing you work around here, you would not know that you had had a stroke. So you seem to have made a very strong recovery.
I would say I'm making a good recovery.
Mm-hmm. I'm still working at it.
Once you're a stroke survivor, you're never fully recovered. You're mm-hmm. just always working at it.
But nonetheless, you dug in and still tried to work on making this goal of 50,000 miles.
I had actually given up for a couple of years, and then I started. I Googled disabled sailing, and the first place that came up was the Jubilee Sailing Trust. Mm-hmm. Which is out of Southampton, England, and they had built two square riggers, two tall ships with square sails on them, traditional sailing ships that you would find in the 1700s in England. And they built them, the first one was called the Lord Nelson, they built that in 1986, and they built it with the express purpose of taking disabled people out on the water all around the world. So they made it fully accessible as far as the heads or the restrooms and the galley. And they put in lifts or elevators in between the floors and things like that. So mm-hmm. So it was all handicapped accessible by English standards, which is, you know, pretty good. Not the U.S. standards, but... and they built that in 1986, and that went so well that they even built another one, the Tenacious. They built that in 2000, so now they have... The Jubilee Sailing Trust has two schooners that pretty much just continually sail around the world. And people can fly to different ports and jump on board the boat and sail for a certain time. And then another group comes in and sails the boat to another port. And so the boats just keep constantly moving around, everybody sailing.
Am I hearing correctly that you saw this as a way now to... get that last 3,000 miles or so get you to 50?
Yeah, actually, at that time, I still needed 6,000 miles, so I've done it twice now with them.
Have you, really? Okay.
Yeah, so I was on the Tenacious, which was their second boat they built, and I did the same trip from the Canary Islands across with that, and then that was actually, and then I only needed 3,000 miles, and then that was 7 years ago, and they just had never done that trip, and as far as cost goes, that's the cheapest long trip you can do uh-huh. from here, you know, when you consider flights and distance and time. If you look at things in the Pacific, you're talking like 60 days. You got to be on the boat or across the Indian Ocean, you're talking like 65, 70 days. And the transport and to fly in there, it gets pretty expensive. But to go from North Africa across to the Caribbean and fly there and back, it's a little more reasonable. Put it that way.
Sure.
And so they hadn't done it, and I had kind of given up even these last few years. It's like, well, if they're not going to do it, it's not going to happen. And so, and I did my 50,000 in my 50th year, but I actually didn't quite make it because I had to look because it was the last trip was 3,000 miles and my birthday is December 14th and I looked at the GPS on December 14th and we were still 329 miles away from Antigua.
Well, so, nobody's going to quibble with you on that one, Matthew.
I bet there were some you forgot to write down.
Yeah, I bet too.
So then I turned 51 and I sailed my last 329 miles. So it all worked out.
tell us, let's talk a little bit about life on the ship and what a ship like the Lord Nelson is, what it's like. And I saw somewhere it was called a Brock.
Is that a bark?
Bark, is it bark?
B-A-R-K, yeah, B-A-R-Q-U-E, it's a bark.
B-A-R-Q-U-E, okay.
Yep. And that's a traditional sailing vessel that you would have seen probably starting in the 1500s, mm-hmm. 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, and then onward. And it's a three-masted vessel, and the forward two masts have square sails on them, so they're the big square rectangle sails with yard arms, and yard arms go all the way across the mast. And then on the very back mast is a fore and aft sail, a gaff sail like you would see on the Ordis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what constitutes the boat as being a bark, those particular things. Mm-hmm. And there's 10 permanent crew on board the boat that are paid crew that are on it. And then there's five what they call cadets, who are kids that are in school, in college, to learn how to be mariners. And it's a three-year college for them. And part of their college is to go out and do on-the-water training. Mm-hmm. Once they finish their time in the 3 years of college, they can be second or third mate on any size vessel in the world. So they had a lot of knowledge there and just learning how to be at sea. So that's mm-hmm. like 15 people there. And then there was the rest of the crew was what they call the voyage crew, which are people that pay to be on the ship, but you have to work on the ship the whole time. You have to chip in because there's no possible way that the 15 people could actually sail that boat.
It takes a lot of folks to run a boat like that.
Yes. Whether you're putting up one or two sails, one of the square sails, even one sail, you're probably going to need 12 people to actually put one sail up. So when you're going to put up like all four or five or six sails on each mast, it would take probably 35, 40 minutes, and it would take all 35 of you or 40 of you to do it, because there's just so many ropes and so many lines to pull. And part of their job, the permanent crew, is just orchestrating it all and saying, we need eight people over here, and we need eight people over here, and six people over here. And then you need people still driving the boat. And
not everyone is equal ability. Some people have limitations on what they can do, I gather, but they all have a part.
They all have to have a part. They all have to do something. Mm-hmm. They might not be able to do everything. And that's true no matter where they're on the boat, whether it's putting up the sails or cleaning on the boat or working in the galley, prepping food, things like that. Everybody does their part to make it go.
I looked at the website and saw photos and video of people hanging from those, what are they called, yard arms?
Or? The yard arms, yeah, the mast, yeah.
And with harnesses that they're hooked into. Explain how that all works, because they're way up in the air.
Well, they train you at the beginning of the sail. They go up and give you a training on how to go up the mast and then go out on the yard arms, which if you go on to the very end of the yard arm, you're actually about 10 feet over the edge of the boat, and so you're over the water. Mm-hmm. And at times you'd have to go up there to take care of the sails. And so they would just call who wants to go up, and if you wanted to go up, you have to put your harness on, and then you would just climb up and go out, and usually one of the mates would go up and kind of lead the whole project as you go up. But there's three yard arms that you'd have to go up to, so sometimes you would see people on both masts and on all the yard arms, mm-hmm. just making quick work of all the sails. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would just take too long if you did it one at a time.
Sure.
But it was optional. That's optional if you wanted to go up or not. And it was I went up there and I thought it was fun. A little unnerving when you actually get on this little foot rope, they call it, because you got to get on a little tiny rope and then walk all the way out and kind of shuffle your way out. And
you're holding on to with your hands to the yard arm or another
rope. Yeah, the yard
arm,
and there's a rope on there, and you're clipped on. But the boat's rocking back and forth and, you know, in 2 or 3 foot seas. And I wasn't the most comfortable person up there, but I made it. I have a picture to prove it.
If you've just tuned in, we're speaking with Matthew Brown, our own Matthew Brown from WTIP here, who just finished the last few miles of his goal to sail 50,000 miles before, and we're going to give him credit, full credit for it. I wouldn't trust the GPS myself.
No, not that last 300 or so.
On a tall ship sailing from the north coast of Africa to Antigua in the Caribbean, and Matthew, tell us about some of the other people on board that you met, and was there anybody that particularly inspired you, or what was the people experience like?
Yeah, there was a little bit of everything, and this time there was a lot of younger crew than I had sailed with before. Two gals who were 18 years old, that just decided that that was a thing they wanted to do, and two in their mid-20s. And then the oldest person on the boat was Pauline, and she was from Ireland, and she was 84 years old and blind and never sailed the day before in her life. And she says she sat at home one day and decided that she should probably try this before it's too late. And and it's like, really?
Wow.
But boy, she seemed to have fun. You know, she had a good attitude about it. And
she just held on the lines when she was walking around?
Yep, there's handholds on it, and then they also have things on the deck so you can feel with your feet where you're going. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so she was pretty inspiring there to see her just, you know, get around at all times of the days, and whether it was flat calm or there was 20-foot seas, and she was just navigating around somehow, just like she was falling down like the rest of us, you know.
Wow.
And then the other inspiration was a gal named Lolly, and she was 18 years old, and she would always normally use a wheelchair, but she decided to walk on the boat, and very difficult walking. And in the first 4 days, we had 20-foot seas and got bounced around quite a bit. And I asked her, I'm like, because you just met her, because nobody actually, there's 40 of us, and nobody knew anybody before we left. And so I asked Lolly after like 3 days, like, so, are you having fun? Is this okay? And she said, it's the best. And I'm like, well, why? And she's like, because everybody's falling. She said, normally I'm the only one falling. I fall when it's flat calm, but everybody's falling now. And she said, I said, really enjoy watching you guys fall, because it's we're all equal.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's, you know. And then as the time went on, the boat flattened out a little bit, and she still fell some. But at the same time, you know, she felt good that we all had to go through it a little bit and see what she had to do. But to see her going around on a daily basis, just how difficult it was. Mm-hmm. To go up and down, and she even climbed up the mast, out up onto the platforms, and just really inspirational. Thinking, you know, it's like sometimes you think, oh boy, you know, it's like I don't have any problems.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and she's, I mean, if she doesn't have any problems, there's really no reason for me to have any problems. And of course, you're in the middle of the ocean; it's easy to say that, but a lot of inspiration right there.
Yeah, I can see that. 20-foot seas. Had you been in stuff like that before?
I had been at something like that before, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a smaller boat?
Smaller boat, yeah. Mm-hmm. So a bigger boat, it's a more comfortable getting bashed around in 20-foot seas. And, mm-hmm. and just the boat itself, it was, it was comfortable. And, you know, and everything on went just like normal, you know, as far as the meals always happened at the same time, whether there was 20-foot seas or no seas. And, and things just went along like there wasn't 20-foot seas. You know, everybody mm-hmm. just went about their normal thing, and you did what you had to do. And the boat is set up so they divide you into four watches of like eight people, and there's always one watch that's on up and in charge of the boat, and the other three are kind of off at the moment. And then you rotate around, so one night you might be up from 12 until 4 in the morning, and then you're up from 4 until 8 the next morning, and the next morning you're out from 8 until 12. And so it's just, so there's always people sleeping on the boat and at different times. And enough time to get to know everybody and to be with the other watches. And there was a bar on board, which was like a gathering point for a lot of people to gather, and lots of game playing, lots of checkers and things like that, and chess. And actually, I've never seen this before, and maybe, I don't know, but in the bar, on when there was 20-foot seas, and nobody knew each other, but they all thought it would be a good idea on the second night to play Twister. And if you've ever seen people play Twister, it's one thing, but if you ever see people play Twister in 20-foot seas,
what,
you know,
section
in the bar,
of the boat was what section of the boat was the bar located in?
It was aft, down fairly low.
Oh yeah.
So you know, it was a very comfortable place, and you know, all the chairs though were all tied down and everything. Oh, yeah. And they had spread the thing out, and someone would spin and say, you know, green left foot, and you move. And of course, you didn't, you know, you couldn't let the movement of the boat, you couldn't say, oh, I let my arm go because of the movement of the boat. That was like, you're out.
Tough. Yeah.
So that was actually a pretty good icebreaker of like who you're sailing with, and what's this trip going to be like for the next 30 days when they're playing Twister? And I say they, because I actually did not participate, but I watched. Yeah. But,
what were the sleeping quarters like?
Mostly you did two people to a room, uh-huh. and bunks, lower bunk and an upper bunk, and little hanging closet for you and drawers to put your things in, and then shared heads and showers, oh, sure. and things like that. And there was plenty of, you know, there was plenty of water. They carried like 5,000 gallons of fresh water, and they made the fresh water out of seawater desalination plants.
Oh, really?
And they did that, and they carried lots of diesel as well that ran the desalination plants. And mm-hmm. all in all, it's a pretty comfortable boat. And it's pretty well run, and you know, and meals, like the meals were timed out each day, you know, all at the same time, and you took your every fourth or fifth day you were on galley duty, meaning you didn't have to go on your watch, but you had to go and you know, peel the potatoes, yeah. and chop the carrots and do all that kind of stuff. So It's really the whole object of the whole thing is just, okay, these 40 people are just going to move this boat across, and everybody's going to do what they can do and just see how it goes. And it's an interesting way to go when you put all different abilities together, mm-hmm. and you say nobody gets out of any job for any reason.
And that was acceptable to everybody involved, I guess. It was a challenge that they wanted.
Yeah, that was pretty well stated ahead of time if you were going to sign up for that. And a lot of people that had never been sailing before or sailing with them, that was all pretty well laid out, that's exactly how it's going to go. But it is a British boat, and they follow lots of British traditions, which yeah. is kind of fun.
Yeah,
I learned a lot about the Brits, and I learned a lot about Lord Nelson himself, who was like one of the biggest heroes in England ever. And he was handicapped.
The Battle of Trafalgar.
He died in the Battle of Trafalgar, and he was handicapped.
Really?
He lost half of his left arm. Huh. And he had lost his eyesight for a couple years, although it had returned to him by the time Trafalgar yeah. hit. Huh. But yeah, so he was a handicapped sailor himself, an admiral at wartime.
Yeah.
So it was...
Yeah, there's a lot of heroes out there, and I don't want to forget to say where folks can see more about this, because there's some really fun stuff to look at on the internet. The easiest one, I suppose the easiest thing to do is to go to WTIP right now, because there's a banner.
There's a banner, and I put together a little slideshow.
Yeah, and you've got a YouTube slideshow.
Right, and that's the one that's on the banner now.
Okay.
So you can just go right to our website, and
that's
all on there.
That's the easiest way, rather yeah. than trying to give the address for the... But then the Jubilee Sailing Trust is pretty easy web address, jst.org.uk.
Yep.
And that is probably on the website here, too, now.
That's on there as well, so...
But at any rate, folks should go look at that, and you see this ship and... And the hundreds of lines of ropes.
Miles of lines.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
pretty
incredible.
Amazing. And if people have seen the ships come into Duluth, you'll recognize that a couple of the ships that come into Duluth look like this. You know, mm-hmm. it's a square rig tall ship.
The tall ship's coming. Next
yeah.
summer they're going to be
summer.
There again.
Yeah.
We've got to wrap this up now. I'd love to keep on chatting, but what would you say was the takeaway for you on this particular experience and your 50,000 mile goal?
Oh, gosh.
Philosophical now. No, you don't have to be.
I don't. That's, I haven't thought of that one. That's a great question. The takeaway would be that I absolutely... I mean, I just love being on the water, and I love long distances on the water. When I started sailing, I liked them really short, and now I like really, I mean, I like being on the water for 30 days is really, really enjoyable. And and it's not one of those things that, you know, it's not uncommon anymore to cross the ocean by sailboat, but it's a good personal feeling that you get by accomplishing just, you know, being away from land.
It's pretty unique still.
Yeah,
for the most people. You're going to keep on sailing, I gather. The 50,000 isn't the end of the world.
No, but you know, it's 7 years since my last one, so I'm not pressing anything to do another one.
Okay,
we'll see how it goes. But But you know what? I definitely do want to thank everybody here at WTIP who made it possible for me to go and to cover all my shifts and to do all my things, and to Deb, the radio diva, who just said yes, that's something you should do, and we'll figure it out. And you really got to like the fact that, I mean, I have to love the fact that, you know, all the people here at WTIP made it possible for me to go.
Yep,
and then welcomed me back.
Your family support. So we all appreciate what you've done and really enjoyed hearing about it. And welcome back.